Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Aaron Boone Report is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, by Mercedes-Benz of Paramus on Route 17. Pick Paramus for your new Mercedes-Benz today, and served to you by Casamigos Tequila. Try Añejo Tequila straight up. It's aged 14 months in bourbon barrels and is just incredibly creamy and delicious. And I told this gentleman last week, had a bad feeling when he and the boys went up to Fenway Park as I walked off the golf course. The feeling was much better Friday, and sure enough, the Yankees haven't lost since. The manager of the first-place Yankees, Aaron Boone, he joins Evan Robertson, John Jastrzemski. Mr. Boone, how are you, good sir?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you guys again.
Well, things are going very, very well. I mean, you haven't lost a game in what feels like a long time. How would you compare, because you've had a lot of hot streaks this year, that's how you get to the record that you guys have. How would you kind of look at what this team has done over the last week, especially because the injuries just never stop, yet you guys continue to overcome it on a daily basis?
Yeah, I would say it's in a lot of ways been kind of emblematic of what they've been able to do all season long, and we've seen a number of guys really step up for us this week. In Baltimore, where the offense was going, it was from a lot of different people. I mean, obviously a lot of guys hitting the ball out of the ballpark, but contributions up and down the order, whether it's top of the order, middle, bottom of the order, whatever it was, some really big pitching performances. The day before yesterday, where we were kind of up against it from a pen standpoint and had to kind of piece it together with Holder, Tarpley, Cortez, and Otto finishing it off, going more than he normally would. Like, those kind of performances, you know, have been huge for us all season long. And then Paxton, you know, kind of needing some length and going out and pitching into the seventh inning yesterday. So, you know, everyone contributing, which has been the case for us and necessary for us all season long.
And just hit on James Paxton. Last two starts have been very, very good. For the first time in a long time, he throws up a zero in the first inning. Do you get the sense he's turned a corner here in 2019?
I do. But honestly, you go back, I've kind of felt that each and every time. I feel like even in some of the starts where he had some struggles, I felt like he was really close. I feel like the first inning stuff's a little bit of an aberration. In fact, in some of those outings, he's kind of got nickeled and dimed a little bit. But I feel like he's been throwing the ball really well for probably about 3-4 starts now. Even going back to the game in Boston where he got hit real hard, I thought he threw the ball really well. But hopefully he is building that momentum that's given him that confidence of being that guy that, you know, we can kind of lean on to go out there and pitch us deep into ball games.
Now, you mentioned it. I think it was the Boston game on that Friday night. He came very close to pitching a 1-2-3 first inning. I thought he struck out Xander Bogaerts on a close pitch, ends up putting him on, gives up a 2-run home run. So with the first inning issues, which obviously evaporated last night with a nice first inning, do you think a lot of it was just a coincidence and there really wasn't anything he was doing that was leading to the consistent first inning issues that he was running into?
Yeah, I do think it was a little coincidental, and you go back to some of his starts and you see some of how they scored the runs. You know, it wasn't like he was getting hit hard a lot, but then he did have a stretch where he was giving up, getting hurt by the long ball in that first inning. And I think there was a stretch in there, you know, maybe a month or so ago where, you know, it took him a little bit to get into the flow of the game, and that first inning kind of ramping up his stuff a little bit, it kind of hurt him a little bit, and I think he's really attacked that just from how he prepares in the bullpen leading into the game, and then going out there with that mindset of on the attack right away. And I feel like his first inning, just from an overall stuff standpoint, has been a lot better over his last four or five starts.
Aaron, it's been a wacky couple of days for Gleyber Torres. He has the issue Sunday. He comes back to Baltimore, goes back to New York, and is not going to be put on the injured list. All's good with Gleyber Torres moving forward?
I mean, we've run him through just about every test you can possibly do, and everything checks out good with him. He's felt pretty good and feels like he's continuing to get better. I'm going to try and stay away from him here for at least a couple days and kind of just let him, you know, recover and build back up and hopefully get back in there this weekend. But we do feel good about, you know, just his overall health and where he's at. But we're also going to try and stay incredibly vigilant on it and being real communicative with him as far as how exactly he's feeling. And hopefully we can put this behind us.
Would you want to DH him a little bit to kind of give him that half a day off on his way back or put him right back in the field?
I don't know, because I mean, I did that the other day and we still, you know, I don't know that necessarily playing, you know, I kind of feel like when he's ready to DH, he's ready to play,
right.
You know, so if we don't feel like he's ready to play, then I don't want to play him at all. So, there could be a DH in there, but I wouldn't necessarily count on that.
Obviously Gio Urshela looks fine. I mean, he doesn't miss a beat, but the other night it was almost, It was bizarre and almost comedic, yeah. How the guy's hitting foul balls off what looked like the same spot over and over again. How's he feeling right now, Gio?
He's good. He still wasn't running great yesterday, but you know, feel like he's obviously good to go. And in those kind of situations, it's you're just dealing with some discomfort. You know, it's not like a pulled hamstring or groin or quad for that matter, or like a strained muscle where you can hurt yourself more. This is just kind of get through it. He took those couple days, and I think he really got healed up and got a lot better over those couple days. And hopefully now, as he gets time removed from those balls off his knees and shins and stuff, hopefully he continues to just feel better and better.
The manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone, with Evan Robertson, John Jastrzemski here on The Fan. And Boone, I've run out of positive adjectives, superlatives to describe Gio Urshela this year. You're around this guy each and every day. When was the moment for you as Yankee manager where you said, wow, this guy is for real? This guy's not slowing down. Like, is there one particular moment that you can point to?
Honestly, spring training. He was a little slow to start because he was dealing with a little bit of Achilles situation, so he didn't play in like the first 10 games of spring training. But honestly, from the moment he got back into games in early mid March, the at-bat quality right away and the way he was driving the baseball to all fields. I remember having conversations fairly early in spring training saying, you know, we think this guy might be real offensively and we think he might have unlocked some things because the quality of contact was, you know, was real. We knew about the glove, obviously. He got into our organization at the end of last year and did some good work with Phil Plantier down in the minor leagues and then has continued that with Marcus and PJ this year. And I think we're seeing a very talented player that was, offensively speaking, a little bit of a late bloomer and has taken advantage now of an opportunity and completely run with it and been such an impact player. But he caught my attention because I hadn't seen him play that much right away when I saw his at-bats in spring training.
Did you unlock something with Mike Tauchman, too? I mean, because this guy looks like a different player as well over the last month.
Well, I mean, I would credit first Mike Tauchman. I mean, he's done a great job of working on his game, starting to really understand his strengths as a hitter. He's a really good defender at all three spots in the outfield. He's a really good athlete. He runs well and does all those things. But I think the work that he's done with Marcus and PJ and in the cage and the work that they do every day about just understanding his strengths and what makes him successful has been good. But I also give our organization a lot of credit because they kind of have been on him for a while and felt like he was a guy that kind of had some of this upside at the big league level that he just hadn't had that real opportunity yet.
Aaron, it's amazing. Even with Gary Sanchez going down with the injury, Austin Romine and Kyle Higashioka, I mean, they've looked like Gary Sanchez at the plate, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's remarkable what those two guys have done. So I'm curious, with Gary coming back here over the weekend and you're getting ready for the series against the Blue Jays, Are you guys going to ease up on Gary's workload those first couple weeks? Like, we aren't going to be seeing Gary Sanchez playing 5-6 days a week, right?
Probably not. And because of our roster right now, with like Encarnacion down and Voit down and Gary and Giancarlo obviously still down, there probably are some more DH at bats in there for him. So, you know, he'll still obviously be our regular catcher, but you know, for a while there, I wasn't using him as a DH because we didn't really have that slot. So when he had a day off, it was a day off. So, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I would expect him to catch a lot, but probably sprinkled in a few DH spots in there as we continue to have some guys on the shelf.
Where are we with Luke Voit? Is he going to avoid that surgery?
Not sure yet. I would say we're still at least pretty optimistic. I actually texted with Luke yesterday, who's back in New York right now. He's doing all his rehab work there, and he actually ran yesterday. And you know, he says he feels really good, and he felt really good running. So that was an encouraging sign. But you know, I think it still comes down to once he really dives back into baseball and swinging the bat and taking his ground balls and running, how he responds to that, and we'll kind of see where we're at. But we're at least encouraged by how he's doing.
Aaron, what's the latest on Luis Severino and Dellin Betances?
Sevy's scheduled to throw his first bullpen tomorrow up here in Toronto, so looking forward to him getting on the mound. I know he's really excited. He's been chomping at the bit here the last couple weeks to get on there as he's been feeling really good. So hopefully all goes well with that first bullpen tomorrow. And then I think Dellin is scheduled to possibly have a bullpen on Monday when we get back home.
Wow. We're talking Aaron Boone. The Yankees have won 8 in a row. They're 75-39. And every time you use the opener, you guys win. I mean, it's been automatic. If you used the opener during the postseason, would the guy coming in next be more of a traditional starting pitcher? Would it be a Jay Happ, a CC Sabathia? Could you see guys like that filling that, you know, kind of that second slot if that's deployed in October?
We'll see. I could certainly see us doing something like that. I think we'll be creative. I think we'll kind of try and, you know, depending on, you know, first and foremost, it's getting there, and then it's sure. Whoever the opponent is, you try and map it out and kind of look at it as knowing you got to get 27 outs, and okay, how do you deploy your guys to maximize that? So I'm sure we'll get a little bit creative with that. We'll start to have those conversations and hopefully have a couple more guys like Dellin and Sevy in the mix that are part of that equation.
Would it be important for a guy like Sabathia or Happ to be used in that role during the regular season just so that they got used to it? Or do you think it's not really a big deal? If the first time they come in, it's October, it's not that big of a deal. How do you view that?
Right. I mean, it's something that we would, if we went down that road, it is something that we would talk about. Is this something we want to do with our guys to, you know, get them used to a different look or possibly even a different role? So that's something that we'll kind of explore here over the next several weeks.
Aaron, how impressed were you guys with Herman Saturday, considering that Boston lineup is so deep? He faces them on Sunday. He's going up against Chris Sale again. And I thought he was even better on Saturday. And the more and more I watch Domingo Herman, the more and more I become impressed. Is this a guy who, with each passing start, is becoming more and more of an option to be a guy that, dare I say, starting playoff games for your team?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, he is come so far from last year, and last year, you know, he had a lot of successes last year, but I think some of his ups and downs he's really grown from, and I think the thing that I've been most impressed with and proud of the most is just how emotionally solid and stable he's been, no matter what's going on with in the course of his outing. I remember a couple of starts he had when he was struggling a little bit a couple months ago in Cleveland and then Kansas City, where he struggled and was probably dealing with a little bit of that injury thing that he had with his kind of growing hip flexor, where even though he was scuffling a little bit, you would have never known it. You would have never known it by how he carried himself on the mound. You would have never known it by how he just really locked in and focused on the next pitch. He's never rattled by anything, and that continues to show through, and I think something that served him really well.
Aaron, final one for me, and I go back to last year, you guys losing to the Red Sox in the postseason. You go back to a couple weekends ago where they go out and they take 3 or 4. I know you guys had owned them before that, but it had to be awfully sweet to go out during a 4-game series and really make a statement. No ifs, ands, or buts, even with some of the injuries, even with, you know, guys like Stanton being on the shelf and Severino and Betances being on the shelf. To go out and sweep a 4-game series and basically finish them off as far as the American League East is concerned, it had to be awfully sweet.
There's no question it was a big series for us. The environment at Yankee Stadium, you know, in the summertime when you're playing the Red Sox on a weekend, and you know what they're capable of too, especially if you're not on top of your game. And for us to kind of go out and put our best foot forward against an important divisional foe was no doubt about it sweet and obviously something that was really important for us.
Well, you buried them. I mean, they're 17 games back in the loss column, so you sent them reeling, but I know there's a long way to go, and baseball's crazy. I mean, look at the Mets. All of a sudden, they're back in a race. Things can change very quickly, but you do have a 10-game lead in this division. Do you look at home field advantage throughout as something that's important and something that you almost want to manage aggressively to get as we move towards the latter part of August and September?
Certainly, we would love to finish with the best record in the American League and in baseball for that matter. And we'll kind of, you know, each and every day, you're going out and you're trying to win games and rack up wins the best you can. And especially we feel like we do have a big home field advantage at Yankee Stadium. I mean, we've played great there all year this year. So it is something we'd love to do. You always got to, you know, kind of strike the balance of not burning guys out, especially the back end of our bullpen that we've obviously leaned on so heavily. But we've had a lot of other guys capable of stepping up and allowing us to win games on a regular basis because guys you necessarily wouldn't think of have allowed us to do some certain things. So we're going to try and win as many games as we can, and hopefully it's something that allows us to not only get to October but play a lot of those games at home.
Aaron, that's what I like to hear, because I want to be going to as many games in the Bronx come October as humanly possible, and you guys keep rolling in the Bronx, so that's a good sign. Keep up the good work. Kill it up in Toronto. We'll chat again soon, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.